Alderman Michelle Smith, 43rd Ward, thank you for joining us, and happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays to you, Steve. Good to talk to you.
Oh, it's great to talk to you. Thank you for doing this. I almost don't know where to start, but I do. And that is 13 shot, nine fatal. I think that's the data from our newsroom. That's just another weekend in Chicago in the summer. When is enough enough? And I know you've been talking about this, as have many of your colleagues.
I think it's been enough for a long time. And saying enough is enough is not really very satisfying, is it?
No.
I can declare saying enough is enough all day long, and yet when it continues, we really haven't gotten anywhere. I'm very concerned about crime overall. I'm very concerned about crime in my area. I have lived in my community for over 40 years, and there was crime. There's always been some kind of crime, but right now is the toughest it's been in the 11 years that I've been alderman. Right now is the toughest it has been. We are seeing some things that I haven't seen in a long time.
So yesterday, in the old Irving Park area, about Irving Park and Milwaukee Avenue, for whatever reason, all of these people stormed a police officer, jumped on the car, did damage to the car. Luckily, the officers are okay. What's going on? And I guess one question I have, including the carjackings, which are all over the city, including big time your ward, what's going on with a lack of prosecution? I suppose part of that is many of these instances, and I don't know about what happened with Old Irving Park last night, whether they were minors or not, but oftentimes they are. That may be part of the problem in prosecuting.
I think the number one problem, if you can cause and effect one thing, it is that the change for carjackings from making it a mandatory adult offense for a juvenile, it was changed, I believe, I don't want to get the date wrong, but it was about 2018 or so that it was changed to a juvenile offense that you'd have to show a whole lot of aggravation to be able to try it as an adult, has had an absolute cause and effect in the increase in the number of juveniles involved in carjackings. You know, carjackings are hard cases anyway because they are difficult for the victim to make an identification. So there are cases in which someone is carjacked, but they can't say he's the guy who did it. And that's our system of justice in all cases, right? But the fact that the juvenile feels that because some friend of theirs didn't get prosecuted and they're juveniles and that they get released quickly emboldens them and has done that. And we have been protesting this for quite some time, and the Illinois legislature has got to change that, because there is no fear of consequences, even if there are eventually consequences. You know, there's a juvenile who committed a carjacked someone in our ward last March, or maybe even the year before March. Denroy Garcia is his name, because he allegedly murdered someone and is now in custody, and I can use his name because he's been charged as an adult. But when he committed that carjacking, did he have any fear that he was going to get arrested? I don't know, but he sure shouldn't have shot somebody. And it was only that is keeping him in custody. And I don't think that's fair to the public. I think the victims of crime deserve to be protected from people who think that there are no consequences for being involved in carjacking. So that's one big item.
I don't think any of our listeners would disagree with you on that. My question is, why can't we create an ordinance local to Chicago to either hold the parents or whoever the adult is in that household responsible, which I've been saying for some time on the radio, an ordinance that refers to that law that Illinois once had, where carjackings would be a criminal offense, no matter who is responsible for the carjacking.
So the only problem with that, Steve, is that Chicago does not have the power to create an ordinance for anything that would be a felony. The most that Chicago can do by kind of standard law of the differences between states and municipalities is that we can never create a felony. So that carjacking, at most, can be a misdemeanor punished by a year in jail, and that's a whole different. You generally can't hold people in custody for misdemeanors. So the legal structure doesn't allow it. The truth is, people need to write their state reps and say, "Fix this," because we certainly have, and you know, we'll keep at it again. Don't know if they have the votes. So I think people really, that is something that just absolutely needs to change.
How about what I said about mm-hmm. holding the parents responsible or whoever
well,
the adults
that's a
are?
Very, there have been attempts to make that happen. Now, when you say hold them responsible, you mean criminally?
Yes.
There are very few circumstances in the criminal law generally in which a parent can be held accountable for their child. Very few. You know, we all know if you break the window, you know, your parent can be sued, you know, because they actually have insurance. There might be a better chance of having them be responsible by a civil action. It's just a very difficult thing to do criminally under our system of justice. You probably would be great to invite people who are really knowledgeable in the field of juvenile justice to talk about parental accountability, but that's very difficult. And in many cases, some of these kids do not come from households with responsible parental figures anyway.
Of course. And that's part of the problem, I believe.
Of course, it's part of the problem.
Yeah.
There's also a general... you know, we have done some very, very important criminal justice and police reform in our city. Some of it has been misunderstood, as you may have seen from the tape that just came out the other day of a police chase in which the people who they were chasing said, "You can't chase us." There was something on the news just, I think, this morning in which somebody took a video of the police chasing someone. And they said, no, they were screaming after the police, "You can't chase us, you can't chase us," because they read a news article somewhere that talks about some of the details of the new police foot chase policy. Well, you know, everyone's a lawyer in the city, including the criminals, and they made that up. So we have to make very clear, I think we need to renew our efforts to make very clear the consequences that you can face for disrespect of a police officer.
But that disrespect still happens now increasingly every day.
Yes.
For example, what I talked about on Milwaukee Avenue and at Irving Park Road just last night. But it happens mm-hmm. all the time now on the beaches. As you well know, what has happened, first of all, why do you have to go to the beach with a gun? And then you filter out into the neighborhoods, which has happened now several different times, where police vehicles are being stomped on and CTA buses are stopped and on. We've all read about that. How do we stop this from happening yet again and again and again?
I think that the police have been, at least the police with whom I interact, have really been excellent in maintaining their authority and establishing it. And, you know, one of the biggest problems that we had this year was, in fact, especially on the weekend before Memorial Day, having people on the beach with guns. And I'm really, really grateful to the work of the police in establishing bag checks on the beach. I'm personally following 9, and maybe it will be more, gun cases that the state's attorney has pledged to indict of people with guns on the beach. And that's outrageous. No one should have a gun on the beach. No way, no how. This is where our children play. And I'm very committed to doing everything we can to make sure that these gun cases are prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, that these people are being made an example of. I think that following those cases is being successful in lowering the threat to our beach, certainly lessening it We've had these illegal events on the beach that we are hoping have passed on, that are not coming back anymore, because we have set that example. That's the only way, ultimately, to get these crimes fixed, is to make sure that people know there are consequences and that the consequences are followed through on. The message gets through the criminal types when you begin to set those examples.
Well, when we come back from a commercial break, I want to ask you about this, because I've had some of your colleagues on. I'm talking about fellow aldermen and women who say, well, yes, everything you say, yes, 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 yes. But the police, they're handcuffed themselves. They don't have the ability to do what mm-hmm. they would like to do. And I'm not talking about police that go overboard. That is always wrong. But I am talking about doing what they were able to do a couple of years ago, even. They can't always do that anymore. I want to talk about that, and there's so much more to talk about. 43rd Ward Alderman Michelle Smith, when we come back on WGN. 43rd Ward Alderman Michelle Smith. Alderman Smith, have the police been literally handcuffed in a sense?
I really don't think so. I do think that as I mentioned, that the spread of what has been announced has made people who would normally be taught to be a little afraid of the police and to respect the police, as we were, to be more bold. And the police are going to need to arrest people for resisting arrest and things like that. Absolutely. What we do need is to have a legal structure in place in which the state's attorney, who is supposed to be our partner, returns to being our partner rather than being both prosecutor and defense attorney and judge, as her office is right now. We've had too many cases in which, and some of them have been reported in the press, in which the state's attorney is saying this is the only charge that we're going to support, and the judge, even some of the judges, are saying, wait, I think this is a carjacking. And those cases need to be charged. I go to court a lot over Zoom, and we have a very active court watcher network. And when the public shows up, we think we get better results. I shouldn't have to do that. I shouldn't have to do that all the time of going to court in order to have justice for the victims of crime.
Well, some time ago, it was my line, I'm sure other people have said the same thing, that our state's attorney is more like a public defender. That's backwards, of course. How do we make things better in that regard? And as you allude to, some of the judges are playing in all that, too.
Well, what we have, let me say this. We don't have recall here.
Do you wish we did all of them?
But we don't. So wishing isn't going to make it so. So let's talk about what we can do.
Okay.
So we have, and several of my colleagues have, a public opinion program going in which people are literally sending postcards to the state's attorney and emails to the state's attorneys and to Judge Evans to say, we want protection from crime. Do your job. Now, let me say this, that anyone in political office does not like getting floods of things addressed to them, telling them to do their job. They begin to respond. And we have seen that, at least I feel like I've seen it, particularly in cases in which I personally get involved. And the criminal justice system, and I was in that system for many years. I was in the federal system. I was an assistant U.S. attorney. There's no doubt that it is fairly slow, not as fast as we would like, but it can deliver justice when you work through the system. Right now, I'm just not so sure.
Yeah.
And if citizens get involved, these are elected positions, you have to let people know that we want people to do their part. The criminal justice system is designed for our own protection. Under our U.S. Constitution, as there's a prosecutor with the burden of reasonable doubt, the burden of proving guilt beyond a reasonable doubt, and a defender, often a public defender, who wants to create reasonable doubt. That's how it's supposed to work. And you need both sides there. and a judge who's supposed to be impartial and not, you know, sort of made to say, well, you know, that they can't call the facts as they see them. And I think you're beginning to see some of the disappointment that some of the judges have that cases that seem they could be properly charged are not being brought before.
I hope you're right, because Chicago's suffering right now in so many ways, not to yes. mention the individuals, most importantly, that yes. are criminalized and sometimes, yeah, I mean, sometimes murdered. I mean, it's...
I will say that right now in my ward, we have had a long spate of robberies in a very small area. It's outrageous that hasn't happened. Our police are being incredibly responsive. They're going to be setting up cars, you know, to give people cars sitting on the blocks to let people know. They are very diligently working the cases that they have in light of some arrests that have been made. Arrests have been made on cases. Now the police have to go back to the victims of all these crimes and see if those people actually can make an identification. And if they can, that's great. And if they can't, then we have to turn to try to find the video evidence to try to get those cases prosecuted. And that's really what we're going to do. And I think we got to do it and repeat it until the message gets through.
Do you think more aldermen, and we only have a couple minutes here, need to get more involved? Even if the idea is they shouldn't have to do that, maybe they need to do that now.
I think that they do. I think that the elected officials have to go out there and literally support their police, support them in what they're doing, not just by talking about it, but actually either being in the streets about it or being in court. And you can do it pretty easily in Zoom nowadays, but to really get involved and demand of the state's attorney's office that they do their job and to reach out to the public to cooperate with the police. When everybody does something, we get results. And I'm very, very proud of the way our community cooperates and gets involved. We need to do that. And certainly the state's attorney on the most violent and horrible cases, you know, they do their job, but they sure don't do it in so many of the other cases.
Well, I think that's clear. How about the mayor? And the good news is this question you're not going to like. We only have about 30 seconds for her. But is the mayor doing all she can?
I know that the mayor and I share some of the same frustrations about our partners in the county, right? The police make the cases and the state's attorney's office have to prove them and bring them to court. And so that bifurcated system is sometimes is difficult to deal with right now, where in the past we've had a lot of alignment. But I can't speak for the mayor, but I do know that she's very involved with the police, and it's a very, very difficult time right now.
Indeed, Liz, time goes by very quickly. I wish we had more time. We do not. I want and hope you and your family have a wonderful holiday. From the 43rd Ward, we didn't describe where it is. Would it be safe to say Lincoln Park and Old Town area?
Lincoln Park, Old Town, and part of the Gold Coast. And I will say to you, it is a pleasure to be interviewed by you, even though I was also interviewed fairly recently by a younger man by the name of Paul Lisnick, I think.
He's an older man, and if you've seen both of us in person, Alderman, so that must be your eyesight, I'm sure, is perfect. And clearly you can tell the difference. Alderman Smith, thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.